This episode is in memory of Kimberly Oldham, who passed away in early December 2024.
Welcome to Inside the Castle, the podcast that goes behind castle doors to have real conversations with real people about solving the nation's toughest challenges.
Hello, I'm one of your hosts today, Marie Kopka.
And I'm Aaron Schneider.
Welcome to today's episode of our People First series, where we celebrate unity, empowerment, and the diverse voices in our workplace to highlight our greatest asset, our people. Aaron, in our last episode, we spoke with the Office of Equal Employment Opportunity, Outreach, and Accessibility, and they highlighted the CORE's employee resource groups as one of the ways that employees can actively advance diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives.
That's right. That was a great episode. And I've really enjoyed all of these episodes that we've talked with resource groups. In particular, we talked a while back with the AANHPI community, and they talked about like the forgotten past. And it's really interesting to me to hear the different perspectives and the history that's been lost or forgotten in that case. But, you know, it does remind me that, hey, there's always a different perspective out there. Something to look at. And I also reflect back a couple years ago, I think we did a podcast on some of the water resource challenges being faced by a tribal nation. And so, you know, some of those perspectives just help understand. And I think that's one of the importances of diversity, though, is having the different perspectives to help come to better solutions. So something that I've enjoyed participating in, and I'm glad that, you know, you keep inviting me to these events. So thanks, Marie.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. I think that's really all very great. And you're right, we did talk to the Asian American, Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander group earlier this year. We talked to the LGBTQ community this year as well. And today I am really excited to be speaking with Michelle Larson and Kimberly Oldham from the Native American Employee Network. That's who we have with us today. So thank you, Michelle and Kimberly, for joining us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. So before we dive into the topic, could you both tell us a little bit about yourselves and your role with the CORE?
Okay. I'm Michelle Larson. I have been with the CORE of Engineers for over 27 years. I started out my career as a civil engineer. I worked in the St. Paul District for my first 25 years. I did take a break for 5 years from the CORE and came back, where I taught junior high science, and I worked at a private engineering firm for 2 years. But for the last 2 years plus, I've been working for the Sacramento District as their district tribal liaison. And that's been pretty fulfilling. I made the switch from engineering to tribal liaison because I wanted to do more to help tribes. And that's worked out pretty well. I'm an enrolled member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, which is part of the Minnesota Chippewa tribe. I'll turn it over to Kimberly.
Hey, so my name is Kimberly Oldham. I am both Creek and Yuchi from Muscogee Nation out of Oklahoma, Okmulgee, Oklahoma. I have been with the CORE over 31 years. Currently, I am working in the Southwestern Division as the Senior Hydropower Program Manager, but I have worked around the CORE in the Northwest for a long time as an operation project manager, as a chief of maintenance, and various other roles. But getting towards the end, I wanted to, you know, come back home, come closer to home, Texas. So that's all.
Yeah, well, thank you, Michelle and Kimberly. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for sharing a little bit about your background and your history with our agency, too. Just to kind of get started, I wanted to make sure that I had the name of your community correct. Is it the Native American Employee Network, or do you go by a different name?
That is the correct name.
Okay, excellent. Could you tell us a little bit about your community group?
So we are a network of Native American employees and allies. We don't limit membership to just Native American employees. And it's just a supportive place to share our common experiences, discuss current events affecting Indian country, what the Corps of Engineers is working, how we're working with tribes, what we're doing to help tribes, a way to connect and network and, you know, receive mentorship, provide mentorship is a great thing to, if you want to move around a little bit or whatever, sharing opportunities, we can spread cultural awareness throughout the Corps by being open to everybody.
Thanks. I was wondering, you know, how these groups seem to come about, how they're formed, and really, you know, what's their overall purpose? So could you give us an overview of kind of the formation of this group and then what you're trying to achieve?
Well, Michelle, I think it came out of your emerging leader. I was trying to reach back into time and pull some of the documents that, as you were building your emerging leader program, what are the things that you wanted to accomplish, both in that role and also, I think you were doing a detail at headquarters. So a small group of us were working with Michelle to say, hey, what would be good things to try to accomplish and tie these to both the detail and your emerging leader program. But I think that's where it all started, right?
Yes. Yeah. I was working on a detail with the senior tribal liaison at headquarters, and she had asked about if there's some way we could get a Native American group of employees for like a sounding board for when we're doing enterprise-wide things, because at the time, Lisa Morales was our tribal liaison at headquarters, and, you know, she didn't want to be someone who's trying to speak on behalf of all Native Americans, which none of us really do, because we are all different and unique. I had looked into that, and that actually wouldn't pan out, because it was not, there's policy things against it that it couldn't, but I thought that would be a great idea to have a network of Native American employees just for our own benefits, because, you know, by that time I had been working for the Corps for, I don't know, 23, 24 years, and I had met very, very few Native American employees. I think at one point in time, there was one other Native American employee in the St. Paul district. And so that makes it kind of lonely, you know, and we were looking at ways to recruit employees and stuff, and it's pretty hard to recruit and retain employees if they don't feel like they belong and feel like they're part of the agency. So that's really how it started. And we just started our meetings with, our first couple of meetings were just talking about, you know, stuff, talking about what we're looking for in a group. And we went from there.
Yeah, that's really great, Michelle and Kimberly. Kind of hearing you both talk about the origin, kind of the origin story of the group, it's very similar to kind of how the Asian American Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander community group also started. It's kind of very organic in how our conversations led to the different activities and goals of the group, just coming up with those together. So at least for the Asian American Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander community group, that started during the pandemic. Michelle, was your project then about the same time? It seems like you said it maybe a few years ago, or?
Yeah, yes. My Emerging Leader program started actually October, November 2019, and it's a 2-year program. So it fully was during the pandemic. So that is correct. Yeah, because I think the pandemic really isolated people even more. And so yeah, it was really helpful to start it then.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the activities that it seems like our employee resource groups have started to help with is in celebrating the heritage months that are kind of associated with our communities. So this month, being November, is the National American Indian Heritage Month. Could you tell us a little bit about what your employee network is doing for this month?
Well, for this month, we had a meeting early in the month, which was actually a combined meeting. So as a Native American employee, because there are so few of us, and being my current role as a district tribal liaison for Sacramento District, I get tapped to do things like this. So 2023, I worked with the other tribal liaison in our district to plan an entire observance month where we actually had three different speakers in addition to a taco truck and just weekly messages and stuff. And I was asked last minute, well, like 2 weeks before the end of November, October, to plan this month's observance. And as a Native American employee, because, you know, we are such a minority, there's only like 0.7% of the USACE population is a Native American. And so you get questions all the time when things come up like this. Instead of seeking outside experts, people turn to you, and it can be a lot. It can be overwhelming. And with my current position, I travel quite a bit. So that's what we did, is I invited everybody to the one meeting. And, you know, I think as Native Americans, we're really just pulled in so many directions when it comes to this month that people just kind of turn to you and expect you to educate them or things like that. Kimberly, maybe you can add to that.
Yeah, like in the past, and you know, it's the same people being pulled to be on panels to talk about, you know, issues or just, you know, cultural sensitivity. And it's, but with the Native American Employee Network, we've kind of come together and we've been shared. So like Michelle was saying, this year, you know, all the rest of us knew that she was putting on, and she had someone with some, not necessarily a lawyer, but some legal expertise talking about basically Native American Indian law and what trust responsibility was. I mean, so there was some really good conversations in that. And then when the Northwest, some of the folks in our network were putting on a different one, and they shared. So we're kind of like, as each MSC or district is doing their version of, you know, Native American Heritage Month, we are kind of sharing with around the country. And so I may be listening to MVD's presentations or NWDs. And so, again, there's only a small group of us out of over the 23,000 employees of USACE, 0.7% is Native American. So I kind of say that we're a minority within a minority.
That's interesting. And Michelle, you're talking about educating, and I was kind of wondering, you know, maybe I feel like I could use some more education in this myself, but maybe you could educate some of our listeners. It's a really broad audience that we have here today listening to us. And I know when we talked with the Asian American Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander community, they talked about like the different perspectives and being like, if you're from Hawaii, you have a different perspective than, you know, if you're born in California. So, and I know earlier you mentioned there's a bunch of different tribal nations out there. Could you talk a little bit about the differences between them? Because so I think for me, as somebody, like, you know, I hear tribal nation and it all gets bunched together as one group, but this is much more than one group. Could you explain that to our listeners a little bit from your perspective?
Yeah. So, I mean, so there are 574 federally recognized tribes, and that does not include all the Alaskan Native villages. It doesn't include the Native Hawaiians, but they're spread throughout the country. Plus, then there's tribes that are not federally recognized. So people have a huge range of experiences where we've got people who have not grown up with their culture, whether they were, their families has a history of going through the boarding schools. And so they had some of that culture stripped away from them through that process, or maybe they were part of a relocation program where they would relocate people who lived on reservations to the big cities to kind of assimilate them. And so there are a lot of different experiences between like someone who grew up on a reservation versus someone who grew up in a city or just out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and not on a reservation. And then it is a huge range of experiences. And so it's kind of, you know, none of us have the exact same background. None of us have the exact same life experiences other than, you know, there's a shared history of
trauma and genocide, which kind of affects, you know, every tribal nation that I know of had went through that. So, but as a group, I don't know if we really talk about that so much because there's so much other stuff that we're dealing with. Kimberly, do you want to add to that?
Was now 57 federally recognized tribes, and you know, these all the tribes have different languages, different histories and paths. There are some things that are very bonding in the sense that the experiences that Michelle described of genocide and you know, and trauma is a lot of what our cultures are dealing with today, because a lot of our history is passed down through verbal communication and history. And so, you know, a lot of this history isn't, like I said, it's been passed down through generations. But the other thing I'd say is, you know, you hear people say Indian, and you kind of, well, this is, they'll say this is Indian, and you're like, well, what are you talking about? There's multiple tribes, and I don't think there's an clear understanding of the diversity of our languages and of our, you know, the paths that we have walked. For example, my tribe is Muscogee Nation, and a lot of times Muscogee Creek Nation, but people don't understand is Yuchis, which is an entirely different language, is also under Muscogee Nation. So we have actually two tribes, two languages, two histories that is combined under one nation. And that's not uncommon, that what the federal government did during their recognition. I mean, you have three affiliated tribes in the along the Missouri River, Rickaraw, Mandan, and Hidatsi. That's three tribes under one federally recognized tribe. And some of these tribes didn't even get along. But again, it's a very complicated history. And so to recognize that there is diversity, and that's why we are very sensitive about, we don't speak on behalf of others, other tribes, because that's our recognition of, you know, what's culturally across, you know, all of the United States, North America, and indigenous people in general. Over.
I'd like to go back to something you mentioned earlier about just having a small group of Native American employees that work for the Corps and putting this energy into educating and building this cultural competence of the agency. That's kind of one thing, definitely, that I think that our kind of community groups are asked to help with for the agency. But I'm kind of wondering more on the supporting of your employees, that kind of side of the things. Like, what is your employee network? What kind of activities do you do? Like, how do you support each other when you're not working on the cultural competency piece of the agency? Like, what kind of things are you doing to just support each other, to have those conversations and taking care of one another? Could you kind of speak to that a little bit?
So, you know, I think it's kind of leading into, you know, what does it mean to us and what does it mean to me? One of the efforts that I really focused on starting back in 2003 was bringing USACE to what ACES, American Indian Science and Engineering Society. Like Michelle was saying, we didn't really have a network, and I was the only one at the ACES National Conference, where there's a career fair and an opportunity to recruit STEM. But what this network has done over the last couple of years, and this year, which the conference was back in the first of, was October 3rd through the 5th, I think, was the first time that we had two panel sessions, let alone the recruitment effort, because we called the Native American employees out of this network. We were able to reach and bring them to the conference so that we had ambassadors as our hiring officials. So students attract students of people that look like them, right? So they would be more encouraged to come into our booth. But we also had two sessions that was Native American employees actually talking about different subjects about the Corps, promoting the Corps, but they were all Native American employees. I think we had about, I want to say 15 USACE employees that attended the conference this year, which is record-breaking for us.
That were Native American. Yes.
Yep. Yep. And then both panels, we use this network up because we've got some resources of talent now in the Corps. And we also brought back students that we hired like in a previous year to the conference that now are being absorbed into this network, right? And so one of the things that is important in our culture is community. So what we're really doing is building a community within the Corps. And this is, Michelle brought it up at the very beginning. Recruitment is one thing, but retention is another. My mom, and I'll just kind of briefly go down a personal note. My mom is a PhD in psychology, and she worked at universities, and she retired from Stanford as an associate dean. But in psychology, that's what she did. That was the thing that, as she worked with not just recruiting Native American students into college, but also the retention part of it and building a community, building a family. And so we, in this network, and I think this last conference, as we brought people that were talent to talk about in panel sessions, but we also spent the time with some of our newest members and trying to mentor them. And again, if we want to keep them, we're going to build this small family of folks that they can reach out to as they move through their careers.
Yeah, to add to that, even some of the monthly meetings we've had, we've talked about things like what professional Native American organizations have been helpful to you. We've got, like Kimberly mentioned, ACES, the American Indian Science and Engineering Society, but there's Society of American Indian Government Employees. There's a SACNAS, which I can't remember exactly what it stands for. But it's another professional organization. And I think that one's Hispanic, Latino, and Native American people that are part of that organization. And so, we talked about different ways that you can find support if it's not, within the Corps of Engineers, but other organizations that can be helpful for that. And just, we've had different speakers where we had different Native American employees come on and talk to the group about their experiences in the career, challenges they've had working for the Corps of Engineers or, other places. And so we've had quite a few of those speakers talk about those things and what they're doing for their job. And I think it helps open up the eyes to, what is possible throughout the Corps, because, we're all Corps of Engineers employees, but the Corps is huge and has many, many different career paths. And if you're not satisfied with your current career path, you can always change to something else and still be working for the Corps of Engineers. And so I think that really helps to give people an insight into that.
I think, too, I'm adding on to what Michelle is saying. I know she has done a lot of the legwork in putting together speakers but talking about issues that are just in general big issues in Indian country. Because our employees may be feeling the impact of a lot of these bigger issues like missing, murdered Indigenous women. That's a big issue out in Indian country. Have had, and I think you were compiling a list of all the, Michelle, of previous, but you don't know when our employees are having, some of these things are impacting their families. And so getting it out and being able to talk about it, even though it's not necessarily relevant to the Corps, but it is very relevant to some of the folks that may be working for the Corps.
Yeah, one of our employees used to be the tribal liaison that helped with the disinterment of Native American children from the Carlisle Indian Boarding School. And so we had him talk 1 month about that. And a boarding school history is in almost every Native American family. It's very rare to find a family that was not touched in some way by boarding schools. So there's things like that, too, that we talk about that maybe aren't directly related to what we're doing day to day for the Corps of Engineers.
I think it definitely seems to see the importance of this group that you have in this family, as you've described it. In thinking about our audience here, probably a two-part question, I guess it is, you know, really, you know, how should, you know, interested entity or people join your group? But also, how could folks that maybe don't identify as being Native American, how important is it for them to also join the group? I know for me, Marie has invited me to a number of events, and I've gone to those, and they've been so eye-opening and really helped with the awareness. And I've always been curious, but I feel like I'm a little bit like, oh, that group's not for me. So what would you say to those folks, you know, that are part of your community to join, but also to those that aren't, that can become allies for you?
So the easiest way to join is just by emailing me, michelle.j.larson@usace.army.mil. And I will get you, we have an email distribution list. We have a Teams channel that we use as well. We welcome all Native American employees. We also welcome allies. So if you're somebody who is interested in learning more, if you want to be supportive of your Native American employees, please reach out and join. You are more than welcome to be part of the group. But we just want people to remember that the purpose of the group is to be a support network for Native American employees. That is the first purpose of the group.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people who are working as tribal liaisons that aren't necessarily Native. I think they're a member of the network, but that's the key point. And Michelle, I mean, it's got to be a safe place where our community can express themselves and be able to talk openly.
Well, we kind of covered the gamut here of how the group formed and what the activities the group does and just kind of the importance, why you personally think it's important. I'm wondering if you have any final thoughts you would like to leave with our listeners. Was there anything else to this story that you want to add today?
I mean, I think Michelle and I, did you have some thoughts about, you know, what we might be planning over the next few months? I think you and I were kind of texting back and forth after that. So I'll let you kind of put that out there.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things that we could cover. Unfortunately, it's kind of hard to do this when you don't have it. You have to just squeeze it in with your other job duties. Like we have a group at Tulsa District that does STEM outreach to the Cherokee Nation. So we were going to have them come on and talk to the rest of the network about what they're doing. There's what we call cultural keystone species. So those are, if you think about the environmental biological standpoint, for example, in Minnesota, the Great Lakes region, a cultural keystone species would be wild rice or manomin. And so talking to about that, we've got some projects where I think they're looking at ways to increase that habitat. Down in the southeast of the United States, it might be river cane. It'd be a cultural keystone species. In the Central Valley of California, it's tule, which is a kind of a bulrush, but they used it for everything. So there's things like that. We're also talking about, you know, having our Native American employees that work for ERDC come on again and present for the group, you know, to kind of showcase what they do. You know, a lot of people who may be looking from outside the Native American community in, Native people have been through a lot. And so, you know, there's assumptions everywhere for everything, any group of people, there's assumptions about it. But there are quite a few Native Americans living in poverty, but there's quite a few Native Americans who are well educated. And so people don't realize there's this huge spectrum of individuals out there. So it's nice to be able to highlight like the ERDC employees or, you know, growing up, Kimberly and I are both engineers, you know, we're Native American women engineers, which is, you know, we talk about those minority within a, you know, it just keeps getting smaller and smaller, but we're out there. And so having a group where we can talk to each other and reach out to each other is great. One of the things that I work on, which I never even would have thought I ever worked on before becoming a tribal liaison, was NAGPRA, the Native American Graves Repatriation and Protection Act, which is pretty intense. That's something that we thought about bringing to the group. So that we do have a lot of other topics that we might want to bring up with the group, and we're always open to new ideas. Too, if somebody wants to learn more about something specific or wants to share something, we are welcome that for sure.
Well, Michelle and Kimberly, I just really want to thank you for having this conversation with us. It's really great to hear your story and to talk about your network. So for our listeners out there, you know, if you're interested in the Native American Employee Network, please reach out to Michelle, like she mentioned, and for telling us about the National American Indian Heritage Month. We appreciate you and your insights. To our listeners, we want to hear from you, what topics are important to you, and who you're interested in hearing from. Until next time, be safe, be innovative, and tell your story.
Thanks for joining us for this Inside the Castle podcast. To provide your feedback, email us at cw.infrastructure.team@usace.army.mil. Stay tuned for additional Inside the Castle podcasts as we explore life inside the core and revolutionize civil works together.